Hi Akash, welcome to the podcast. How are you doing today?
Hey, well, Kaiser, thank you very much for having me with you.
Cool. Thank you. So, Akash, let's get straight to the point of, investing in properties abroad. You guys are one of the best in the business to take people's money abroad and invest in properties. But, before we get into the nitty gritties, I want to ask you, a basic question that, there's been a lot of clamor about investing in properties abroad in the last, 3-4 years, and maybe you can help us with some statistics. But essentially, has this become popular with is the audience growing or is it still the domain of the rich industrialists, the rich business owners and entrepreneurs who have basically the big tech entrepreneurs or owners of big companies? I mean, is the level of acceptability gone down beyond that to, let's say, maybe the CXOs or even the mass affluent?
Okay, so those are a lot of questions bundled into one question. So I'm going to try my best to answer that. I'm going to begin with a small statistics for you. The outward remittances through RBI's LRS hit an all-time high in FY22 to the tune of 19.61 billion, which is up 54.5% almost from FY21. Where does this money go when it goes overseas? It usually goes towards travel, education, and real estate. As the Indian consumers are becoming more savvy in terms of, their travel and actually going and visiting new places, and also there is a lot of thought that is going on how to diversify assets. The Indian investor is getting more savvy. Buying a property overseas is no longer a wishful thinking, but it has become more like a necessity, and more so in terms of to enhance the wealth portfolio. So buying a second home, which would be overseas, this shift is now considered a prudent investment decision. And I'll tell you why. Firstly, one is able to diversify your wealth portfolio across asset classes and geographies, right? If you were doing it in terms of an investment, you get higher rental yields that you would get in prime locations in India. So rental yields overseas can vary anywhere. For example, if you're looking at prime central London or you're looking at prime central New York, Upper East Side, Manhattan, anywhere between 3-4%. Whereas in destinations such as Dubai, they can go up almost to the tune in the central locations from probably maybe 5% onwards to, with short-term yields up to about 8%. Then there is a currency hedge that is an important factor. As you're aware, that the rupee kind of depreciates to the USD or the pound. It has been doing over the years. And, the depreciation is about 2-3%. This year, dollar is appreciated almost 10%. So not only has your capital value of your investment goes up, but also you gain in terms of the impact on the currency factor. Along with that, there is less volatility in the developed markets. So if you club everything, you can get double-digit returns on your investment overseas every year. And how do you get that? You get almost about 5% capital appreciation. Let's say a rental yield is about 3% on the lower side, and there's a currency depreciation of about 3%. So we're looking at anywhere between 10-12% returns on a yearly basis. I hope that has been able to answer your question.
Yeah, that's true. Akash, has it, of course, one reason that you amplified in your response is diversification. And, the potential that, your rental yields, the potential that your capital appreciation can also get. What I'm also trying to understand is that what really pushed Indians to invest in properties abroad in the recent years? Is it more awareness? Or did COVID change things because, from work from home? So, the advantages of remote working got understood, amplified, and implemented upon. What really pushed Indians to buy properties abroad in your experience?
So, recently, because of the pandemic, there has been a rethinking of where is home and what is freedom of movement, you know. And we kind of realized that you can work out of your home. You don't have to necessarily be stationed in an office. And if that was the case, you could be working from any part of the world. So would I want to work and have, you know, a view of a building in front of me? Or could I be living in the hills? Or could I be at the beaches? Or could I have a great, you know, view overseas from where I'm staying? So, you know, these factors have actually compel people to think out of the box and look at other options. So I discussed the financial aspects. I think your question is more relevant towards the softer reasons to buy property overseas. And some of them are ease of living, you know, a quality of life, proper infrastructure there, stable economies, good medical facilities, places where one want to retire, safer destinations, you know, people looking for moving overseas, you know, to take care of their children's education and make a life for themselves. Then, of course, the quality of life that I covered, and some of them now are coming up with residency options. So when you buy some real estate, you also get to get a permanent residency. You could apply for a Schengen passport a little later on, you know, things like that. And of course, tax efficiency, which plays a very important aspect in where I want, if I want to look at moving overseas, this is a factor.
Okay, so we'll get into the permanent residency part a little later on. I want to quiz you around that as well. But you know, property buying, we know among Indians is a very emotional aspect, right? I mean, it's something like buying gold that, you know, every Indian is very attached to. Similarly, you know, there's a philosophy among many of us that, you know, we have to have a home by the time we turn 30, 35, permanent home, not just staying on rent. You know, when it comes to investing abroad, Akash, tell us if the psychological reasons also play an important part, or is it more gray matter, more thinking that goes into when people buy international properties? Or is it as emotional as, let's say, buying a property over here?
You know, that's actually a very good question, and it really depends on the life cycle of the person who's looking to buy the property and also the motivational factors behind it. So if I'm looking in terms of a second home, which and that would probably make sense if it was a purely investment, so then it's the gray matter. But if I'm looking at quality of life, if I'm looking at possibility to have a place that I could actually visit, a second home overseas, which I will use myself and not rent out, then of course the softer matter is very important in that decision making process.
Okay, so suppose if you have the money, and we'll talk about the money aspect also, but a more basic question, that even if you have the money and you can afford that, must you buy a home abroad? Or I mean, I'm assuming that there is some kind of an international connection that one has, but if there is some kind of an international connection, should you necessarily invest in a property if you can afford one? Or are there three or four questions that you feel we should ask ourselves before taking that plunge? Because it's you're investing your money in a physical property. You need to maintain it. You need to keep going over there. So what are the three, four essential tick box boxes that you need to tick, you know, before you decide that, yes, I must invest in, or I should invest in an international property?
Actually, the first and foremost question one needs to ask themselves is, how much money can I remit overseas? Because according to the LRS, the limit is 250,000 per individual per financial year. So I think it really begins with that. Do I have financial planning? Am I buying a property? Do I have funds to buy a property immediate? Or do I need to look at a property that'll be probably completing in 2 years? So, you know, I pay in installments till the time it gets completed. Am I looking at a good developer? What are the locations, you know, that I'm considering? Is there a factor that, is there any risk to where I want to invest? You know, these are could be global risk. And, you know, we've seen in the past with the war happening, we've had, you know, there is talks about recession overseas, which if you really consider is actually a good opportunity, because when the prices are down, you could actually purchase more overseas. So, you know, understanding the completion, like I said, what is the purpose behind it? Is it self-use? Is it rental? Knowledge of the area? How much stamp duty am I going to be paying? So, for example, if you were to buy if an Indian wants to buy a property in the UK and it's their second home and he's a non-UK resident, you pay stamp duty almost up to the tune of about 7.5-8%, right? Whereas in New York, for a 1 million property, you're just paying 1% as mansion tax, right? So these are certain other considerations. Dubai has a 4% stamp duty. Then you could also consider making that investment when the currency fluctuation is actually to your advantage. For example, recently, the pound has actually fallen, you know, to the rupee. The rupee appreciated for about almost over 10% in the last 1 year. So it's a great opportunity because your cost of purchase becomes so much better and, you know, for you to pick up something. Then is my property going to be rentable if I want to rent, you know, and the background of the developer. And of course, you need to speak to an expert and preferably an expert who's actually a one-stop shop for you. So from shortlisting options for you, from suggesting things to organizing viewings for you, to negotiating your contracts, to making sure that you can rent the property later, introducing you to people who will actually take care of your home while you're away. You know, all of that is extremely important. And I guess there's only one name that comes to my mind that actually does all of this for our clients, which is Sotheby's International Realty in India.
And you need to also maintain the property abroad when you are buying it, right? I mean, you can't just buy it and let it be.
Correct.
You need to also correct. Physically be able to visit the property off and on again, because you need to monitor it, right? I mean, basic maintenance, trespassing, et cetera, that those things are also important for you to take care of.
Correct.
Akash, what are the most important... sorry, you were saying something. Let me not interrupt you.
Some of the options that we do recommend to our clients come with concierge services. So if something is leaking, you don't have to fly all the way to London or New York to fix it for your tenant or other.
So there's somebody over there to take care of your...
Absolutely. I think that's one of the most foremost things that we look at. The second thing that we recommend to our clients is not, you know, and some of them, that is better to buy in a community. So, you know, it's an off-plan and there are a few other towers that are available. So as opposed to buying a standalone, so that there is security, you know, you have got concierge services. There's a gym itself in, you know, so it becomes easy to rent or is close to a tube station. These are some things, you know, we kind of discuss with our clients to make sure that whatever they're purchasing actually gives them the value. Plus, okay. It is a security.
Okay. So what most of our listeners are interested to know from you, Akash, is that what are the most popular destinations right now among, what's the trend? If you can throw some light on that. And what are the destinations that you yourself personally would, recommend?
So, you know, actually Indians are very fond of buying properties in gateway cities and the ones, the top that come to
in which cities?
The gateway cities.
Okay.
So such as Miami, London, Dubai, Lisbon and Portugal, you know, these have been extremely popular in the last few years for different reasons.
What do you mean gateway cities?
Like the financial hubs, you know, and they're great cultural hubs, you know, they're very open, they're friendly locations, you know, and it's like a global environment there, you know, so they prefer something like that.
Okay. And maintenance and upkeep is something that you've said that is also essential, but then, you know, you said that you recommend properties that come with concierge services. So easy to get these kind of services abroad, Akash? What's your sense? I mean, how important is that? Like, you know, you've mentioned Dubai, you've mentioned Portugal, London, Miami, New York, you've mentioned these cities, but how really is it easy for us to sort of find these kind of concierge services to be able to maintain your property so that you don't have to keep an eye out on it on a daily basis?
Any good developer would provide that in the community that they're building. And we only work with the best. There's a lot of due diligence that comes. In fact, Sotheby's International Realty is present in 81 countries and territories. You know, we have 25,000 agents. We've got 1,000 offices. So there's a lot of due diligence that goes before we recommend any of the options to our clients. And that is the idea behind our approach also, so that whatever is recommended to our clients comes as a complete package. They don't have to start looking and, you know, running around for small things.
Okay. Okay. Any red flags, Akash, that you feel we should keep an eye out on? Assuming that you can invest abroad, assuming that you have the funds to invest abroad, assuming that you want to invest, there is a desire. But any red flags that you feel we should keep an eye out on when we're taking this decision? Because it's an important decision, right? I mean, there's a lot of capital that you're transferring abroad. You're buying actually a physical property.
Yes, I think the most important thing is actually the title deed of the property to make sure that all of that is in place. Secondly, the location, the area has to be a safe area. You know, it has to be in an area where you feel there's going to be appreciation. Because I would certainly recommend that whenever anybody picks up a property, they should buy as central as possible, as opposed to going in the outskirts. Because, you know, at the end of the day, if it's a central property, it's located well, it's in a good look, you know, good area, upcoming area, it has the facilities that are around it, you know, for example, the shopping complexes or the tube station or a park or the views of the water, those are the ones that actually get sold very easily. So, you know, it won't take you long to actually want to flip the property if you were to flip it after a few years.
So saleability and rentability is also very important when you're buying a property. That's coming out from your responses also.
Absolutely. And at the background of the developer, if you're working with, or the construction quality, if it is from the secondary market, you know, it's very, very important to have a look at.
An interesting topic that you touched upon earlier and what our listeners also want to know a little bit more about, if you can throw some light and explain the process and you know how it works, is basically the citizenship of countries on the condition that you invest in the properties abroad. You said that there are some countries that offer you citizenship provided you invest certain sums of money abroad. So how does that system work and what is it and how long has that system been around? Is it a new phenomenon post-COVID? And how does it work? Where do you even start looking for such so-called offers that are out there?
So I'm going to give you another very interesting statistic. More than 6 lakh Indians have actually given up their citizenship in the last 5 years, you know, and 40 of them have given it up for the US, right? Now, let's come back.
40% of that 6 lakh.
Okay. Yes. Now, let's come back to where people are looking to do it. And of course, everybody has different motivation factors and it also depends on their age, right? So are they looking it for business diversification? Are they looking it for tax purposes? Are they looking at quality of life? Are they looking to set up base for their children's education? So, you know, from there onwards, they can move forward. So there could be many reasons. Now, the countries that offer some of them through real estate, for example, Dubai has become very popular now because they've come up with the new rule that you invest to 2 million AD, you get a golden visa for 10 years. And they've made it very friendly. You know, Dubai, in any case, is a very tax-friendly place. But they've also made it very interesting that children up to the age of 25 can actually be part of this, right? You get it immediately and you can set up your base in Dubai. Portugal starts, and Portugal, if you were to look at good quality asset in the central parts of the cities, for example, Lisbon or Porto. Earlier on, it was, for example, Lisbon was very popular. And because it's been very popular, the property prices really shot up in the last 1 year. Some of them have actually shot up over 13%, you know, in some places. And so instead of residential property, they've changed it to commercial property. So invest 500,000 in a commercial property in Lisbon. You get a citizenship by your investment option there. You get a residency for Portugal that becomes a permanent residency after the fifth year. In the sixth year and in seventh year, you can apply for a European passport, a Portuguese passport. That's a Schengen passport that gives you access to live and work freely all over Europe. Greece starts the same thing at about 250,000 euros, but you have to live there for 7 years to be able to qualify for a passport. Whereas in Portugal, on an average, you visit the Portugal 7 days in a year for 5 years to be eligible. Spain does the same thing at 500,000 euros, but you're eligible for a passport post 10 years. So that is why, you know, Portugal comes out as a top favorite. The other places one could look at is residency could be Cyprus, it could be Montenegro. You know, and of course, some people are also looking at the Caribbean countries, and you know, you can start at in Grenada, you could look at St. Kitts and Nevis, you could look at Barbados and Antigua, you know, and some of them started a donation of $100,000, or you can have an investment up to about $400,000. The advantage of picking up a passport from Grenada is, you know, like the EB-5 program that has a bit of waiting, and it's about $900,000 investment in if you buy something in one of these in a country that has an E-2 treaty with the U.S., you can actually immediately get your passport and then apply for an E-2 visa by investing another $100,000-$150,000 and actually cut short your time period. And in maybe about 9 months, you could be in the U.S. as a resident. So there are many opportunities that are available, and it actually depends on what the client is looking for.
Okay, fair enough. And Akash, one of the last questions and the most important question which our listeners want to know about is that, you know, there is a lot of aspiration also that you've talked about investing abroad. I mean, today, you know, one thing that's come up from our discussion so far is that today it looks a little bit more achievable, in fact, a lot more achievable than what it might have looked, let's say, 10 years ago or 20 years ago. So what is the minimum amount that one needs to have in their corpus, or one needs to look for in their corpus, look to build in their corpus over a period of time to be even thinking about, you know, investing in property abroad? Is there a ballpark figure that you feel our readers can take away as some kind of a financial goal?
So, you know, I think as something that I've covered before, whenever you're buying a property, it has to be in a central location, right? Because you're not going to be more accessible, firstly. It's safer. You get a better capital appreciation. It's more stable. You can rent it easily as opposed to going in the outskirts. So instead of looking at zone 3, 4, 5, for example, in London, or, you know, anything other than Upper East Side or Upper West Side, you know, if you're considering Manhattan. So if that were the case, I'll give you a ballpark figure. In London, you could be looking at a very nice one bedroom close to Hyde Park in the secondary market, closer to about £600,000 plus stamp duty, right? If you were looking at an off-plan opportunity around that area, then we're looking at closer to about £900,000 onwards for a one bedroom. If you look at Manhattan, again, one could look at anywhere from about $700,000 upwards for a one bedroom. And in Dubai, I think it makes more sense to pick up something at a 2 million dirham because you get a residency along with it. So 2 million AED would be a good ballpark figure. If you're looking at somewhere in Europe, I think it's very important if you're investing in real estate, if you can have the opportunity of getting a citizenship by investment through that real estate investment again. So that becomes an added benefit. And there again, I would recommend close to about €500,000 to be looking at as a budget.
Thank you, Akash, for your valuable time and a lot of good insights that you've given to our listeners and to our readers on how to invest in property abroad. Thank you so much for your views, Akash.
It's a pleasure speaking with you.